which is what I want to talk about, prayer today. And what, for me, the sermons that I speak on most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, definitely this time, I like to talk on things that I really need to hear, that it's kind of for me, that I feel convicted over, if that makes sense. It's things that speak to me the most, things that I'm not doing great at. So this is kind of it's a sermon, but it's also a confession, and it's kind of a self-talk to things that I needed to hear. And one of the greatest things, if you've ever led a Bible study or done anything like this, going and preparing some type of lesson, it really forces you to dig deep and really get into the Word in ways that you need to do in order to do the lesson. And it's such a blessing. I was in the middle of it last night. Not that I wait to the last minute to prepare for these things. Smaller crowd. But I was preparing and I stopped. I said, I'm loving this. God was really speaking to me, you know, in such an amazing, clear way. I was really hearing his voice as I'm preparing to bring the message. But God, I get a lot out of it. We get a lot out of it, out of preparing a message like that. He really speaks to us. So that is what I'm going to share on today. I'm calling it, if you've ever gone online on our website, they have podcasts from previous messages, so all the way back, a couple of years back, you could go. And they always, I think Peter's the one who titles the messages. So if this had a title, it would be The Priority of Prayer and a Pattern of Prayer. Those are the things I want to talk about today. As we read Scripture, there's no question that Old Testament, New Testament, prayer is so important. We see the disciples modeling it. We see Jesus modeling it as he gets up early and goes off into a mountainside to pray. It's such an important part of our life as believers in Jesus. But at the same time, it's such a neglected part of many of our lives. And again, myself included. I need to pray more. Right, Aaron? I need to pray a lot more. So, but one can easily be, you don't need to be a believer to pray. We see people praying all over the world. You do not need to be a follower of Jesus to pray. People pray. However, I think it would be very difficult to be a follower of Jesus and not pray. You would find people who don't believe in Jesus who do pray, but you're not going to find too many people who do believe and don't pray at all. You know, again, it is neglected. It's something that we all, not all, but a lot of us need to do more of, but we all do pray. Because to have that relationship with Jesus, there's no way. That is such, it's the life, it's the breath of our walk with him. That's why it is so important. God has given us many means of grace, ways that he helps us, ways that he strengthens us, draw closer to him. Spending time in his word is one of the means of grace. A few months ago, I shared on community. Being around other believers is a means of grace. It's a way that God pours into us. It's a way that he does work in and through us, in our hearts. And prayer is probably one of the most important ones. It's probably one of the most effective means of grace that God has for us, that he works in our hearts in those times of prayer. And I wanted to read from James 5:16. I don't know if it's going to be up there. It says, can you get it up there, Ethan? Is that working? It's on the retreat? Oh, that really throws me. All right. Okay, so my version might be a little different than yours, but that's okay. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer. When we hear that phrase, fervent prayer, one of my pictures in the Bible is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night that he was being betrayed, where he was praying so hard. The Bible says in Luke 22, I'll read from that, And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. That is an example of fervent prayer. So much that his sweat was like drops of blood. Wrestling with God. Have we ever had those times of wrestling with God, just where everything was on the line? As Cade sits here, we've had some fervent prayer for our son Cade when he was in the hospital. He was asleep in the hospital bed, and I was praying fervently over him. Did you know that, Cade? Yeah. You were sleeping. We had a prayer meeting here. Obviously, we were still in the hospital. We didn't see it. But it was a fervent prayer meeting. For those that were here, thank you. We honestly believe that Cade's life was saved that night. It was a day after he had suffered a stroke, and there was an emergency prayer meeting. And from what I've heard, it was fervent prayer. It is a force that the enemy cannot stand against. So to pray fervently, the importance of prayer, the priority of prayer in our life. We've seen sports. We've seen teams, football, baseball, whatever it is. Next year's Super Bowl champion, does anyone know who it is? Of course you don't. Simeon wants it to be the Ravens. Eric, who do you want it to be? The Niners, all right, Packers. I was hoping for the Packers this year. But whoever the winner is, it's going to be not because of how great they played then, although obviously that's important in the games, but a big part, and as a football coach, I haven't coached in several years, but it's the off season where the champion is really decided. It's how hard you work in the off season during practice that's going to make you a champion. It's if we are lazy in the disciplines, in working out, in doing drills, going to practice. We always say as a coach, you practice how you play. And then in the game, it's revealed. It's revealed who's been practicing. You know, on an onside kick, when you're this close to going to the Super Bowl, you're supposed to catch the ball, Packers fans, and he went right out of his hands. All right, he's no longer a Packer, if you didn't know. Anyway. Now, I'm sure they practice that, and things happen in games, but the discipline in our own lives, that's what the word disciple is from, discipline, the disciplines that God has given us. Prayer is such an important one, and we fail in private long before we ever fail in public. We will stumble in private long before we will stumble in public, and our prayer life are those disciplines. It shows in our life. If we get angry quicker, or when we do stumble in public, it's probably the result of what we're not doing in private, if that makes sense. What we're not doing in private, what we are neglecting in private. Cade was in a play a couple of weeks ago, Aladdin. He was guard number, we'll say number one guard. He did awesome. But when he came home from school one day and said, I want to be in a play, right, Cade? And Aladdin Jr., and it's this full musical, and Aaron and I talked about it. You know, is this something that we want Cade to do? And not so much that he couldn't do it, because he totally could, but he has all these therapies. He's so busy. He has therapy, hours of therapy every day. And then we said, you know something? This play is what the 3-4 years of therapy has been for. All the therapy that he had been doing up to that point was for this. It's so he could be in Aladdin and get out there and say his few lines and sing his songs. And there was no question about it. And he nailed it. He did awesome. Did so good. And your solo? Oh, yeah. He had a couple solos. Absolutely. He faced a gallop in hordes. 100 bad guys with swords. Right? Aladdin, Disney people. Sorry. His funniest line was when they caught Aladdin, and this isn't in my notes, and Aaron's shaking her head and said, don't go here. All right, street rat, you're going on a little trip. And Cade, what's your line? Over the cliff. And he nailed it. Everyone laughed. So there was no question that we made the right decision. And we are thankful to God that it was such a blessing of a day. And Lucy was in it as well. She was in a tot version, which was genius. She was also a guard. But we're so glad we did it. But it was because of all of his therapies that why he was able to do that, why he was able to get on and off the stage with help. He had a helper. Why he was able to get out there and do some choreography and say his line. That was the fruit of his hours of therapy. And in our lives, we see the result and fruit of our hours of discipline, things that we do, the time we spend in God's word, the time we spend in prayer. When we start our day in prayer as a priority, it's going to pour out in our day. And if we don't, that's going to pour out in our day. So again, what we do in private completely affects what we do in public. So prayer is such a priority through the scriptures from the beginning to the end. So that shows the priority of it. And we also see with Peter in the garden with Jesus. What did Jesus ask them to do while he went and prayed? What did he ask them to do, if you remember it in the verse? To pray. Pray as well. Pray so that you're not led into temptation. And what did they do? They fell asleep. They didn't pray. I mean, maybe they did. You know, it doesn't really say. But all I do know is that 10 minutes later, Peter's chopping off a guy's ear. You know, was that the result of him not praying and not spending that time with God? I don't know. Can you get cream in that? Oh, thank you. It's just water. So, I the scripture doesn't say that. I don't know. But it could have been. It could have been the result of him not praying. He's chopping off the guy's ear, and there he's reacting. It's what's spilling out of him. So to keep prayer as a priority, which, again, is so obvious throughout Scripture. So that's the priority of prayer. Now I want to move on to, I'll call it a pattern of prayer. I'm not going to say the pattern of prayer, but it's a pattern of prayer, something that we can do to pray. And there's an acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S, and some of you may be familiar with this. But the A, to start off with prayer, is adoration. That we are entering his gates with thanksgiving, with praising his name. It gets our focus on who we are praying to, who we are talking to come to him in that adoration. And just start, you hear them in the songs as we sing up here. Glorious, majesty. Let those songs come through your mind as we pray to adore him for who he is. And it's not a time of thankfulness. That's coming up. It's just praising him, his name, his the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are such a good God. And just praising him for who he is. And where's the best place in the scriptures where we can hear prayers of adoration, all prayers? But if you spend any time in the Psalms, you're going to hear these. You're going to read these prayers of adoration, among other things. So obviously, on a day today, as we're talking about prayer, I'm going to read some Psalms for you. So first one is Psalm 100, 1 through 5. And again, adoration. As we pray, as we begin our prayers, to start with this, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Singing to him. That's adoring him. We just spent a half hour adoring him. That's why I love those songs, the hymns, because they're about him. Him. Those songs, I think, are the most powerful. The ones that really just praise him. How great thou art. Because it's just adoring God for who he is. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations, entering his courts with adoration, praising him. It should pour from our hearts. But sometimes it's hard to do because we want to go right to our needs. And of course we do. It's very, very normal to do that. We want to go right in. And I'm not talking about prayers in the foxhole. When you're in the military and it's those times of prayers, you're driving an accident, you're avoiding an accident. I'm not talking about enter his gates with adoration. That's God help me. God save me. Those prayers we need, the foxhole prayers. But when we're quiet before him, when we give ourselves that time to start with adoration and just focusing on who he is and let that flow through us. I'm not great at writing birthday cards. It is not my strength. If I get a birthday card and I open it up and it's got the nice thing on there and I will sit there with a pen for quite, I don't know what to say. The words just don't flow. And Erin is awesome at it. She's and just nailing it. Just all these great encouragement and this awesome stuff flowing from her heart. I hit a writer's block whenever I open up a birthday card. It takes me longer to get the words out. However, I do want to say, and I'm glad she's here, not when I'm writing a card for Erin. That's a lot easier. It flows out of me a lot easier because the object of who I'm writing to is so clear. The love from my heart pours out through onto the page. I'm so getting brownie points right now for this. This is like marriage retreat 101. No. But it does. It's easy when I write to her, when I write something to Kate, to Lucy, because it's the love of who I'm writing to. But if it's, you know, so-and-so's friend, birthday card, the love isn't as hard. It's not as obvious. So it's a little harder to find that well for it to pour out of. So in adoration, let the well of our love for God, let it come from there and pour out. And if you're stuck, open up the scriptures. Open up the Psalms. I think there's not a more powerful position to be in than on our knees with the Bible open. I can't imagine a more powerful position. On our knees with the Bible open. And let those be our prayers. Let that kind of prime the pump. Psalm 111, one more of adoration. I will praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in him. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Adoration, just praising him for who he is. The C of the acronym ACTS is confession. Once we really get a taste of who he is, it would follow that we get a sense of our own inadequacy. The more we see him and the closer we are, the more we realize how much we fall short, how much I fall short. And it is that time of confession. It naturally leads into that. Okay, you are so good, and I am so filthy with sin. I need to get that out on the table. I need to pray. I need to ask forgiveness and to confess my sins to him. That is such an important part of prayer. We can't go without that. I think that really marks a believer, somebody who is confessing often. It should be in our daily prayers. I grew up Roman Catholic, and I remember the first time we had confession. I think it was fifth grade, and it's one of the sacraments, penance. It's one of the sacraments, right, Sue? And I was fifth grade, I'm with buddies, and it's a long line. And you're going in to sit with a priest. It's not the, you know, like you see in the movies, and they do have these, where they can't see you, you can't see them. No, no. You're sitting across a desk from him. He sees me, and, you know, I had all these things, you know, and you talk about it leading up to it. You have your CCD classes, and you're preparing. What are you going to confess? And I got up there, sat across from him, and I froze. I couldn't remember anything. I just locked up. I think I said, like, I may have cheated on some games sometimes, and I don't know. But confession is such a freeing thing when we know that our sins are forgiven. And there is something to be said of hearing him say, your sins are forgiven. And that's one of the things that they say. They don't say, I forgive your sins. Your sins are forgiven. When Kevin shares it up here, because of Christ, our sins are forgiven. And we believe that when we hear it from somebody. That's why it's good to confess our sins, to have people that we do confess to one another our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There's a difference of attrition and contrition. A contrite heart. The Lord loves a broken and contrite heart. Contrition. And this is, I went on dictionary.com. It says this. Sorrow for and detestation of sin with a true purpose of amendment arising from a love of God for his own perfections. So contrition is arising from a love of God. I have offended you and I am sorry. Attrition, it goes on, the same thing. It goes, or for some inferior motive as fear of divine punishment. That's attrition. And that's different. The Lord loves a contrite heart, or contrition. I am sad. I'm confessing because I've offended you. Attrition is fear of punishment. I'm saying I'm sorry because I'm afraid of getting punished. I'm just afraid of what the consequences of it. And that's different. That looks a little bit different. At home, there's a phrase that Lucy says, and I feel like I'm always throwing Lucy under the bus, and I apologize. When she ever listens to this, I apologize. But if she ever does something to Cade, and Cade kind of does it too, she'll say this, I'm sorry, Cade, do you forgive me? It's like one big word. It's like there's no pause. It's definitely not two sentences. It's, I'm sorry, Cade, do you forgive me? And I'm, as her dad, and Aaron does the same thing, well, stop. What are you sorry for? You know, we want her to say, what she's sorry, I'm sorry that I did this. I mean, I love that she's asking for forgiveness and that interaction between the two of them, and she needs to hear it from Cade, yes, I forgive you, and we make sure they get it right. But if it just becomes these words, I'm sorry, Cade, do you forgive me? There's nothing, it's not in her heart at all. It's just words. It's what she needs to say in order to move on and go continue to play. It's just something she needs to do. And that is not contrition. And we don't want to be like that in our confession, just kind of saying it, but to really, not condemnation, but we really feel that we have hurt a God who loves us, that contrite heart, and he is faithful and just. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have we ever asked for forgiveness more than once over one sin? Because we want to feel forgiven. We want that feeling of forgiveness. But we need to believe what he says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we believe that? Believe it. He has forgiven me. Because of what his son did on the cross, I am forgiven. And then once is enough. Once is enough to ask for that confession. The T is thanksgiving. To be a thankful people. The story of the 10 lepers. I'm not going to read it, but we know the story. Jesus healed 10 lepers. They all ran off celebrating. They've been healed of this disease. And how many came back to thank Jesus? One. One came back to thank him. Now, I believe the other 9 were grateful. I really do. I think they were so excited. They rushed home to their loved ones because they had been separated for who knows how long, because when you have leprosy, you are isolated. They are rushing home. I think they were grateful. Oh, yeah, Jesus, this man healed me. Oh, it's so awesome. Oh, I'm so grateful. I think all 10 of them were grateful. So, but what's the difference? One came back to offer that thanksgiving, to give the thanks. I believe they were grateful, but they didn't stop, turn around, and say thank you. So the third part of this acronym in our prayers, we have adoration, which would naturally lead to confession, to get clean, to confess those sins, and then be thankful. I think that will naturally lead to thankfulness. They kind of feed right into the next one. Now we're going to be thankful for what he has done. We're going to start with, thank you for dying on the cross for me, that I am forgiven. Thank you for that. Thank you that you love me no matter what. This whole list of sins that I have just unloaded here, you have forgiven me. Thank you, God, in our prayers. And then we thank him for other things. We thank, like Adam shared this morning, we thank him for our freedoms and the country that we live in and our families and that time of thanksgiving to stop and really take an account of how he has blessed us, to offer him some thanksgiving. It's such an important part. And you will notice so far, everything that we have done, has there been any real supplication yet? Those prayers of the things that we need, our needs. We are 3 out of 4 through our prayers, and not one thing has really been for us, like help me to get that job and these other needs that we have that he is well aware of. That's the S of Acts, the supplication. And I think it's appropriate that it is at the end. And I think the first three, if we really are sincere in the first three, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, those things that we thought we were going to the Lord to pray about, I think he's going to change those. All of a sudden, that's not as important to me as it was 20 minutes ago. I thought that's what I was praying about. But God had all these other things he wanted to share with me and speak to me about. But he is there to hear that. He is there to hear our supplications. He hears, and if it's according to his will, it's something that he cares about. It. He cares about those small needs that we think, well, I don't want to trouble him with this. Trouble him with those things. He cares. There's nothing too small. Oh, so-and-so is struggling with this health, and I'm going to pray about that. And my biggest thing is which rug to buy for my living room. You know, but I think God cares about stuff like that. He cares about the details of our life. He cares about the people in our life that are sick, and he wants us to pray for them. But if it's something that isn't completely, obviously, in contrary to his will, that is just so obvious that it is against what he has revealed in Scripture, it's something that he will hear. And just praying to him. I love the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. In Luke 1. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years and they're about to have John the Baptist. And so they were older. And then in verse 13, it says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. What was his petition? That we would have a child. But they were older by then. I think, and again, I'm just reading into this, that perhaps they had stopped praying for that. You know, they were probably well advanced in years. Maybe they prayed 20 years ago for that. But guess what? God heard their petition. So are there any prayers that you hadn't prayed in a long time? God may have heard it. And he's waiting his time, his perfect timing to answer those prayers, is what we see here. For your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. So, to be like the persistent widow who's constantly knocking, Duck Kevin's shared that a lot, knocking on the unjust judge's door. And he answers her. So to be consistent in our supplication, to be fervent in it, and God hears and he cares about those things that he knows our needs even before we ask. So to take those prayers of supplication. And I just want to conclude, because what I want to do in a few minutes is actually get us in small groups in a couple of minutes and go through this in our groups, to go through a few minutes of adoration. I didn't pray at the beginning of the service because I wanted to pray at the end as a congregation, to have a few minutes of adoration in groups of three or four on your rows, and groups of time of confession. And you don't need to, your voice can get a little quieter on that. You don't need to, you know, say every dark secret, but time of confession in our life, and then a time of thanksgiving, and then a time of supplication as we go through. But I wanted to end with this one part where all the things that Jesus taught the disciples, and they, I would imagine they asked him a lot of questions, but I don't have any account, I don't read any account where they said, Lord, teach us how to walk on water. Teach us how to turn water to wine. But I do hear them say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They did ask him that. Lord, teach us how to pray. And then in Matthew 6, 7 through 13, Jesus answered this. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way as a pattern. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we see a pattern. Our Father, who art in heaven. To call him Father was so radical then. No one called him Father. You don't call him Dad. God, I mean, this is in the Old Testament. You know, there's a lot of titles of God. Father, where we're talking to him as Father, and he goes on to say an Abba Father. To have that intimacy was very new. And that's what he was saying. Our Father who art in heaven. So the Our Father speaks of the intimacy, but remember where he is. He is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He is holy. So to enter our prayer with that, to, again, it's very similar. I think this really follows the ACTS acronym. That's adoration. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's holy are you God. That is adoration. It's getting our priorities set. Recognize who you are speaking to. And praise him for that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. His praying for obedience in our lives on this earth. Praying for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are halfway through and still nothing for us. It's still, as a pattern that Jesus laid out, still not the supplication part. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the first one, isn't it? That's the first prayer for something, for his provision that he promises. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. There is confession. There is confession. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, set a hedge of protection around us. Protect us from the evil one and his plans and schemes, that you would protect us. We know the Bible says clear. God does not tempt us. There's enough in the world, in our own hearts, that can lead us into temptation. He does not do that. So we are asking for protection from that, and protection from the evil one is really what it is. Peter, in Luke 22, 31, 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So Satan would love to have, he's asked for Peter by name. I don't know if I'd want to hear that he's asked for me by name. But what saves him? His own righteousness? What saves Peter? No, it's the intercession of Christ. I have interceded for you. I have prayed for you. So when we say protect us from the evil one, that is what we're asking for, that he would set a hedge of protection around us from anything that the enemy would try to do on us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. That is not in every manuscript. Some people say it may have been added later. Scholars might say that, but I think it is such an appropriate ending, bringing it back to who we're speaking to, who we are living to glorify. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. So the priority of prayer in our lives, and this is just a possible pattern. I think it goes with what Jesus is saying in the Lord's Prayer. Adoration, focus on who you're talking to, praise him for who he is. That will lead us into confession, which will lead us into thanksgiving, and then finally into our petitions and supplications.